ladies and gentlemen, and everything in between, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. And I've got echo coming back at me. Hold on. All right, now we're good. Now we're good. We got another episode of Nerd Up. It's Ace Gray, the five-star man.
All five.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. And it's going to be just us two for this week. Dalton's not feeling particularly great. So we'll do our best to make it through without him. So, to that end, we got actually a fairly decent amount of news for the last 2 weeks, and not all of it is just what got delayed.
Only some of it.
Only some. Disney's Soul is going to release this year, but it's going to hit Disney Plus on Christmas Day. At least, I don't know about you, but what I want to do on Christmas Day is cry a lot.
I mean, it's going to happen, but I would rather do it in the comfort and privacy of my own home than bawl in a movie theater where people can see me do it.
That's so completely fair.
This is a win-win for me.
And as far as I know, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a situation of needing to pay the extra. Like, I don't think it's going to be like Mulan was, as far as I could tell.
So, because they haven't announced how much it will be. They've been very, very careful of just saying, oh, you'll be able to watch Soul on Disney Plus. I assume you're going to have to pay extra. I can't imagine Disney dropping a brand new movie for free. So I think that they're just kind of waiting on that price announcement until closer to time, because they kind of realized that when they did Mulan like that, the entire conversation wasn't about the movie and people being excited for the movie. The entire conversation was this charging a premium for digital content.
Then it turned out the movie was Chinese propaganda, but I am reading an article here. Do what?
We already knew that. That's why I took it's like from the beginning. I was like, oh, so she does not support Hong Kong. Okay. Well, I will not support her.
Yep. Yep. All right. So, I am reading an article here. Unlike Mulan, which released on Disney Plus for an extra $30, Soul will be available to Disney Plus's 60.5 million subscribers at no extra cost.
All right, well then I can just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to hit and it won't cost you anything extra. You'll just be able to watch it and it'll be great. And I am going to, cry my eyes out at home.
Yep.
I'll only be embarrassed in front of Shelby. It'll be okay.
Which is super cool, because then that means I can watch it without having to pay extra money. I can just watch it.
Yep.
I can finally watch something on Disney Plus other than The Simpsons.
Man, I haven't watched anything on Disney Plus in a while. Probably should have canceled that subscription for a minute. That's fine. It's probably fine. So yeah, Disney Soul, December 25th. You'll be able to watch it on Christmas Day. And it does look extraordinarily sad. So, here we go. Michael B. Jordan joining Static Shock, but as a producer. He's not actually going to be in the film.
Which, let me find that article, because it sounds like it's his production company is
Outlier.
Outlier is producing the movie, as well as, like, there's going to be other movies that he's going to be working with.
Yeah, he wanted to, like, he put his name behind a lot of the stuff announced at the Fandome event.
Okay.
But specifically right now, it's Static Shock. And, like, part of me wants to see Static Shock, like an older Static Shock played by Michael B. Jordan. Because I really like Michael B. Jordan.
I mean, yeah, I'll watch him be anybody. Like, you tell me Michael B. Jordan is cast as Batman and I'm on board.
God.
I will just watch him in any, give him any superhero role. I don't care.
I didn't know I wanted something so badly until just now.
This is the quote that from the article that I really liked. I'm proud to be a part of building a new universe centered around black superheroes. Our community deserves that. Outlier Society is committed to bringing to life diverse comic book content across all platforms, and we are excited to partner with Reggie and Warner Brothers on this initial step. So, I think that's super cool, and I'm curious. I mean, we've talked about it to death that the DC live action movies is hit or miss at best.
Yeah.
So this kind of, I like Michael B. Jordan, and as great as he was in Black Panther, like that said, like, I still don't necessarily think that he's completely made up for Johnny Storm.
That's not his fault.
It's not. He did what he could, but, you know, just saying, it's still out there. So I'm hoping that this is where I hope we're getting more Black Panther level quality for Static Shock, because one, representation is incredibly important, and two, Static Shock is just an awesome character. Like, yes. I know this is a story that Dalton would have been creaming his pants over.
Yes, because Dalton is. I mean, I love Static Shock. Dalton loves Static Shock.
He's the biggest Static Shock fan I know, and I can say that without question.
Yes. He's big time super fan. And yeah, like that really is the goal, that hopefully, because Fantastic Four was one of those movies where Fox was like, "All right, we're about to lose, like, the rights are about to revert back to Marvel. We can't just give it to them." So somebody just lay a turd out and, you know, we'll throw the Fantastic Four logo on it, and technically we've used the IP. And that's what the Fantastic Four film was.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael B. Jordan had the misfortune of being cast as Johnny Storm. But he was phenomenal as Killmonger. Killmonger, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Eric Killmonger.
Like, yeah, I said it and I was like, that didn't sound right. No, that was definitely right, but it didn't sound right.
No, MCU loves their mongers. You got your Warmonger, you got your Killmonger. That's really it, but still.
I'm sure there are other mongers. But
I mean, there was like a George Wallace tweet, I think, and it was like, there's four kinds of mongers. There's Killmonger, there's Warmonger, there's Fearmonger, and then there's fishmongers. And one of those things is very different.
Very different indeed. So yeah, I would really like to see the, because, you know, if he's putting money behind it, like, producers get or do have a lot of input and say in how things go. Just ask, I know it's video game, so it's not quite like comparing, but just ask, like, the original story writers for Destiny. How much sway producers can have? Turns out the person controlling the money has a lot of control over the story. So hopefully we get something great out of Static Shock then. Now, Ewan McGregor has confirmed that the Obi-Wan series will start filming in March. Of course, in the times of COVID, that could change literally tomorrow. But as of right now, the show is on track and will start filming soon.
We'll see.
Yep. Yeah, like I said, it's these times. Nothing's set in stone right now.
No.
Speaking of, The Batman has been delayed. It was supposed to hit this year. It's now getting pushed back to 2021, not this year. It's definitely not supposed to hit this year. It was supposed to hit next year, but it has now been pushed to March 4th, 2022. And then The Matrix 4 actually got pushed up. In a time of all these pushbacks, looks like right now The Matrix 4 is moving up to December 22nd, 2021 from, I think they're aiming for a March or April 2022 release.
I'm not sure. I don't remember. I have not been, like, I don't have selective amnesia, unlike the majority of the internet. So I am not at all excited about Matrix 4.
Oh no, yeah. Like, I have met, like, a lot of Matrix fans though that do, like, they keep talking about these sequels that happened and they really enjoyed them. I haven't been able to find these sequels, but they keep talking about them like they're a thing.
I mean, they are. And boy, we wish they were better. And, yeah, like, the Batman one hurts. Like, I knew it wasn't... Like, even next year, like, I didn't know if I was even going to want to go to a theater to see it. Like, I desperately want to see it. I just don't know if I would be willing to go to a theater, depending on, you know, what the landscape is. So, for this to get pushed back to 2022, it like, hurts. Because, like, this is the one thing, movie-wise, coming out of Fandom, that I was, like, super excited for. Like, that trailer hit, and... It's, like, my favorite trailer that's come out, I think, just period. It's so good.
The trailer was really good.
And now it's just like, okay, so I got this taste. I got that taste of it. And now I have to just wait even longer. That's why I'm not paying any attention to all the Spider-Man 3 stories. Of, like, the Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield have signed on to be part of Spider-Man 3. And it's like, I don't care. I don't want to know things about this movie because I'm not going to see it for 4 years. So I'm not going to start getting hyped about something.
Oh, well, I mean, we have a news story then that you might need to plug your ears for. Because Doctor Strange is going to be in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, this is, it's very tied to it. Because they're like, the rumors are it's going to be,
big into the multiverse thing.
Yeah, it's the multiverse. Like, they could even just do a live action version of the Spider-Verse type story. Like, introduce the Spider-Verse as a thing.
Yeah.
Well, which, like, would probably then explain, like, Venom and Morbius and all that.
No.
No?
I want the MCU to give me Venom. I don't want Sony's Venom.
I mean, I do the same. Very much the same. Like, I don't want that to be the Venom movie.
Yeah,
like, no, the official Venom movie. That it can exist. It has its place. But I don't want it to be canonical.
Correct. Yeah, it can be canonical, I guess, inside that universe that exists with no Spider-Man somehow.
Yeah, here's a version of Venom. But here's the real Venom.
Yeah, yeah, this, like, is our Venom.
Like, the 616 Peter Parker Spider-Man is the Spider-Man. There's a ton of other Spider-Men, and they're all great. But this is the real one. This is the one that counts. He is the chosen one.
Yes, our Peter Parker is literally the chosen one. I say our. 616 Peter Parker. which is the main comics universe for those that aren't too big into that. Yeah, he is in the Spider-Verse event confirmed. He's the special one. He is the Peter Parker. There's a bunch of them. He's the best one. And, yeah, like, it would be really cool, though, because obviously we know there's going to be a multiverse. Like, that's straight up in the Doctor Strange title. So the MCU is going to recognize a multiverse existing, and they're going to do something with it. And Doctor Strange being in Spider-Man 3 kind of adds to all those rumors that, like, Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are going to be in the film as Spider-Men. I don't necessarily want that. But
yeah, I don't, especially like 30 years later, Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, because I mean, he could be like the, you know, the old Peter from the Into the Spider-Verse movie.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't need them to try and catch that lightning again.
Which, like, they can't. Like, there is no way a live action version. And I want everybody listening to this to, like, earmark this so you can throw it in my face in, you know, 4 years whenever this movie comes out. There's no way a live action anything can come close to Into the Spider-Verse, the animated one. There's just, it's too comic booky. You can't do it in live action. And I say, like, earmark that because if you listen to PWU or even like the first 3 minutes of this show, I'm wrong a lot. So, this could be a nana told you so moment.
Yeah, and I mean,
at your fingertips.
I would be stoked if that were the case.
I'd love to be wrong. Like, you're going to tell me that there's a version of this movie that could be better than the best superhero movie? Yeah, I want it. I would love to experience that. I just press X to doubt.
It's really hard because that is a super high bar. And we were actually talking about it like this weekend. I was talking about it with my roommate and a few other people. That it's Spider-Verse was magical because Sony was just like, all right, well, let's just go ahead. Like, Miles is kind of popular. You know, we can jump on the woke bandwagon, look at our black superhero. And they just let these guys have full creative control and do whatever they wanted with the movie. And it turned out incredible. It was so good. It's the best Spider-Man movie. Like, and that's coming from somebody that really, really, really likes a lot of other Spider-Man movies. But yeah, it was so good. It was so incredibly good. And yeah, like I said, I would love for you to be wrong too, but I don't think they could possibly recatch that lightning in a live action media. Especially if they try to do, like, even their version of that story could not possibly be as good. Like, they're gonna have to come up with their own original way of doing it. But anyway, we got a live action Green Lantern series is coming to HBO Max. Which, this is another thing that could be really cool. Because we've got Seth Graham Smith, the guy that wrote the Lego Batman movie, and Mark Guggenheim, who co-created Arrow, is going to write. Granted, both of them have some stinkers in their resumes too, but the early seasons of Arrow were absolutely incredible.
This is true.
And Lego Batman movie was awesome.
This is also true.
So these guys are going to write a live-action drama about Green Lanterns, because this actually will feature a multitude, including, and which means there are going to be more, so if I don't mention your favorite, which I know my favorite's not on here, and neither is Ace's or Dalton's, but my least favorite is Guy Gardner, Jessica Cruz, Simon Baz, and Alan Scott are all going to be featured in this film. Or in this series, I guess. And they've also mentioned that Sinestro's going to show up, Kilowog's going to show up, and a bunch of other favorites from all across the Green Lantern mythos.
The more I think about this, and, like, I think the Green Lanterns actually... I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase this. I think that it is a property that could potentially do better as a series than just a movie, just because of how stacked that potential, like a Green Lantern core movie doesn't make a ton of sense unless it's going to be specifically like Hal Jordan. But if you're wanting to include like everybody, then a series makes a ton of sense, because then it's easier to do an ensemble cast. And like, of course, the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, the upcoming Suicide Squad movie, probably. Like, those are all good ensemble movies, so, I mean, it's doable, but you're eventually gonna get, like, the, oh, man, I really wish we got more of whoever.
Because, like, you're right, you absolutely can do a Green Lantern core movie where it really, you know, it's them fighting, but, like, they could just as easily pull, like, with the Green Lantern, because you're right, stacked roster, they could give us a Green Lantern movie in the same way that they gave us an Avengers movie. They could use several movies to set up Hal Jordan, Jon Stewart, Kyle Rayner, and all those other guys, and then give us an actual core movie.
Which, I mean, I would also like, but at the same time, I understand that that is way less likely, and a series is going to be able to do that exact thing, just, you know, on a smaller scale.
Right.
So I'm not upset about that, as long as they give me Kyle Rayner, just...
I'm sure that Kyle Rayner's going to be there. They just... It's one of those things, like, I feel like the names they mentioned specifically were to show, like, the diversity that's going to be included in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially just throwing out Jessica Cruz, Simon Baz, and Alan Scott.
Right.
And then on top of that, you've got Guy Gardner.
For all of the people who hate...
Those
Jessica,
other three?
People like Jessica Cruz, Simon Baz, and Alan Scott. That's not fair. I understand that that's not a fair comparison, just... Guy is the worst. And it's not even his fault, because like, yeah, he kind of sucked at the beginning, but the whole Guy Gardner is the worst has become a meme. So they've all so like all of his stories have become to like, yes, how can we continue to make him the worst?
Yep. Yeah, it's one of those things, like he is a fictional character, so he is written, and that is bad. He's the worst Lantern. It's not close. And then, I guess for those of you guys that don't recognize those names, Jessica Cruz is a woman of color. Simon Baz is actually Muslim, if I'm not mistaken.
He is.
And then Alan Scott is openly gay. and has been since the Silver Age of comics.
Which, isn't it like, isn't it Earth One version of Alan Scott is the one that's gay, but like, he's not a huge part of Earth, like whatever the base Earth of. Because I thought it was like, there was like a weird caveat that they're like, oh, well, DC has a gay character, so we can celebrate that. And everyone's just kind of like, I mean, yeah, they do, but he's not in a actual.
Yeah,
he's Alan not in the Scott, important universe.
Yeah, Alan Scott has not been in the main universe since the Silver Age of comics.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, he has been, yeah, he's Earth One. He is very openly gay there, like, as in it's a huge storyline thing. And yeah, because obviously, like, his version of the Green Lantern is significantly different. There's not a core. He just made a ring out of a meteorite that he found, and he turned, like, in a tree, and he turned that stump into a lantern to charge the ring, and that's why he's weak to wood.
Mm-hmm.
Though I never read any of the Earth One stuff, so I don't know a whole lot about, like, Alan Scott there, other than that he is very openly gay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's those characters. And they're all great. I haven't...
Except for Guy Gardner.
Except for Guy Gardner. But I'm gonna need me some Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you have the OG Hal Jordan. I say OG. Alan Scott existed long before Hal Jordan, but still...
But he has become the most iconic of the Green Lanterns.
Yes. Yep. All right. And then, yeah, we kind of went out of order here, so going back to Dexter is getting
Speaking
new
of
episodes.
The worst.
You're right. Why? Why? Can we pretend the last season didn't happen and then get ten new episodes after that?
This is the same thing as The Matrix. Like, do people not remember how this ended? Why are you excited for this?
Like, yeah, because I've also seen people specifically like talking about how excited they are for this series coming back, but why?
And like, it was so heartbreaking. Like, this is the closest I think I'll get to understanding the pain of Game of Thrones fans. Was watching Dexter, of just like, wow, this started so great, and even got so much even better. Like one. Good, like, solid first season, established the characters well. Season 2 also, like, made it, was even better. Like, great follow-up season. Season 3 was okay, a little bit of a dip, but it wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination. Season 4 was amazing.
Yes.
And then 5 had no chance.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
5 had no chance to be as good. So, but even that wasn't, like, the worst season. And then 6, 7, and 8 were varying levels of quality, but none of them I would say were even as good as season 3. And then season 9 was just an utter train wreck. Heartbreaking bad. Like, and the series finale was somehow worse. Like, I have seen people throw around the worst series finale in television history, and it's hard for me to argue that. Like, argue against that. So if we're coming back as like, okay, we're going to pretend season, like, we're going to do what Halloween did. There are only 4 seasons. There was only 1 Halloween movie, and now there's only 4 seasons of Dexter. And this is now season 5. Then I'm on board.
Yeah.
But I'm, like, if,
but
you're
if we're
following,
if we're going to season 10, following
no,
that
thank
train
you.
Wreck up, pass.
I don't even want to see what happens. Like, honestly. Like, they ended it so poorly with so many characters either dying or being just so bad. Like, no, I don't care. I don't care. I don't want to know.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, as a fan of both shows, like, I can't tell you which one was worse. I know, like, there's a lot of recency bias for Game of Thrones being a more heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Dexter was bad. I think Game of Thrones might be worse only because, like, the... With Dexter, it had been bad for a while before it, you know, concluded.
Mm-hmm.
In just the worst way. Game of Thrones felt more like it fell off a cliff. Because, like, I loved season 6, I think. And then it was season 7 and 8 that were just both... Oh, God. Bad. Mm-hmm. So, like, the dip was so ridiculous. And it wasn't even... it was a combination of, like, bad writing and lazy writing, because they really just wanted to finish the show as soon as possible so that they could just go and sign that big Disney contract they'd been offered. So, it's all bad. I don't understand why there's more Dexter. There doesn't need to be more Dexter. Unless, of course, with Ace's caveat, you just like, okay, cool. Seasons 5 through 9, that was all a dream. A really bad dream.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Back to the Trinity Killer for some reason.
Yeah, like, that's... If it's the... On the one hand, like, I don't want to spoil it in case anyone goes back and rewatches it, but at the same time, it's been, like, 12 years. But, like, if it is just... So, spoilers for Dexter, Dexter Season 4 incoming. If it is just him dealing with Rita's death, like, and the series following that, then, like, okay. Because that was very much kind of glossed over a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let's just, we're gonna focus on that, as well as whatever other big bad comes through. Like, I kind of, we're gonna completely ignore the fact that his adoptive sister fell in love with him, because that was just
why?
Garbage. Oh, so bad.
Why is that a thing?
Ugh. I want to start swearing.
Yeah, that is the correct response to that. Just gagging noises. All right. I think that's going to do it for that. So this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Find them online. If you don't live local, you can still support these awesome folks online. They have an online store. They will ship stuff to you. And they are truly wonderful and great and awesome and should be dealt with in all things comic books. And if you're there locally, they also have pretty phenomenal coffee. So we got details on, I think we talked about it last time on the show, the DC 5G is what they were calling it, which was going to be their kind of a little bit of a time skip, and we're going to introduce a whole new slate of characters, basically kind of like what Marvel was doing with a lot of their characters, where we had Jane Foster as Thor coming in, we had Riri Williams as Iron Man coming in, just kind of putting in some new blood and some old names.
Mm-hmm.
So that was going to be 5G. That got canceled. But we are now getting... We had heard there was going to be an event with those characters, and we have confirmation on what that's going to be, as well as our first, picture of those characters. It's going to be called DC Future State. It's going to be a 2-month line-wide event starting January 2021. And we don't have a whole lot of information more than that, other than, you know, of course, we talked about it before. We're going to have a Black Batman. It's looking like it's likely to be Luke Fox. I'm assuming that's Superman's son in the picture we got. And I don't know any of the rest of these characters.
And I don't care. Like, at all. And I know that's not a great thing, but, like, I don't care about the future. Like, I don't care about these super, like, oh, let's jump for, like, time skip. It's better than time travel. It's not time travel. It's a time skip. But if this is true, what I'm reading, then I would very much think that this is going to fail miserably, and it's going to be real bad for DC. A line-wide event beginning in January. For 2 months, the publisher's regular slate of ongoing titles will be put on hold, replaced with miniseries set in the future of the DC universe. So instead of getting, like, Tynion's Batman, or Tynan's Batman, you're getting future Batman. No, I don't... That's awful. That's awful. Why would I want that?
I don't... I'm fine with, like, an event involving these characters, you know, using the books we're currently reading. I don't want to just put my book on hold to read some miniseries about these characters.
And I don't want to put my book on hold to just, like... Well, I mean, I guess this is good for my wallet, because now this is 2 months I won't have DC Comics to come out, but...
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's only Batman anyway, but still.
This is terrible. Like, I don't like this at all.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to see when we get some, like, some more information about it. But yeah, no, it doesn't look good. It It really does not look good.
Huh. Like, some of it's kind of interesting, because I'm looking at this as, like, there's the Batgirl's Rise is the name of one, and that's going to feature Stephanie Brown and Cassandra Cain.
Yeah.
And I do love me some Cassandra Cain, assuming they treat her properly.
I also love me some Stephanie Brown.
I do, too. I mean, yeah, she's great, too, but Cassandra Cain is just, like...
No, that's fair.
That's my girl.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I'm a big old fan.
So,
and like, this could be cool. Like, I don't want to be super negative on it. I'm real bitter that this is fully overriding the regular books. Like, this, I don't, and I guess they're doing it because this is like, okay, well, you can't buy Superman normal, so buy this new version of Superman. Instead of if they did it just as a side series that really didn't affect any of the main stories.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't...
But, like, and this is a totally hypothetical situation. I don't know if any book is actually doing this, but, like, let's say the Joker Wars is 6 issues, and I'm pulling that number completely out my butt. Issue 5 comes out in December.
Oh, no. Yeah, if issue 6 is put on hold...
Until March?
Fortunately, like, since Joker Wars is a black label, it should not be getting interrupted.
That's 3 Jokers. Joker Wars is the Batman.
Yeah, never mind, you're right.
Is the arc.
Yeah.
No. And I think it's already started, and it's like, well, I don't think that's even possible at this point with the release, but like, if there's a huge Superman story, or Flash, or something, like one of the major ongoings is in the middle of like a big event, or a big arc... And it's just put on hold for 2 months? Like, oh, that would be greatly upsetting. And again, that's a hypothetical. I don't know if any of that is true. Like, it would almost be kind of cool if, like, all of these stories wrapped up in December, and then in March is the new launching on point. And it could be, you know, DC 2.0 or, you know, whatever it's going to be, and that's the, you know, all the new arcs are starting there.
Yeah, that would be really neat. Like everything gets, but like, there's no way anything could be that neat and tidy.
Oh yeah, no.
Especially with the way scheduling has gone so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. We'll fill you guys out with more information when we get it. But as of right now, the picture is kind of cool. Like, it's good art. Those characters look neat.
It looks cool, and there's some cool ideas there. It's just
like, I really like how Flash looks.
I don't like that it's mandatory.
Yeah. I would have much rather just bought a, a spin-off book or something like that.
Right.
But I guess this is a great way to test the market, you know, make people read these new characters.
Mm-hmm.
But it also doesn't help that, like, what if I get invested in one of these characters? And they end up saying, like, well, that's all you'll ever hear from them. But what if I want more Luke Fox Batman?
Like Gabby.
Right. Just oh, like, my God. We still haven't gotten anything with Gabby, and it's heartbreaking. We got, like, one issue where Gabby shows up, and she's, like, egging on Wolverine and Dakin in this, like, competition to see who can stab themselves in the head or something. It's like a drinking contest. it's silly. And that's all we've gotten Gabby in, and that is truly heartbreaking. I miss Honey Badger. Anyway, we'll let you guys know when we know more about it, and we'll see what happens. This next portion of our podcast doesn't currently have a sponsor, but I want to throw a shout out to Press Start to Join, because I think Josh is a cool dude and I like him, and you should go check out his show.
Yeah, screw you, Alan.
Alan doesn't give no money to this show. Alan ain't never talked to me before in his life. Josh, on the other hand, is a good dude that talks to me regularly. Well, I guess semi-regularly.
This is the new feud that I've decided. It's now Jesse versus Alan.
Yeah, ps2jshow.com. Check those guys out. They're good dudes. Cyberpunk 2077 went gold. It's gonna be released on November 19th as scheduled. As of right now. Probably.
I mean, it has to. They're already implementing crunch, which, I mean, there's already been crunch apparently, but like, they're at least acknowledging it now, and it's gone gold, so there's no way it can be delayed at this point. I'm sure there will be a gigantic day one patch to go with it, but the version that's on the disc, if you buy physical, is there.
Right. Yeah, it's that at least is ready to go. So, and I'm sure it'll be released. And yeah, there was a lot of drama recently about, like, you know, the crunch, and they're like, everybody wants to do this to get this game out. And there was the other report that came out, like, they talked to a few people, and they're like, nah, that conversation never happened. They just said we're crunching, baby. Like, oh, well, that's less than ideal. That's fine. It's fine. The game is coming November 19th. It's going to be great. It gets a single-player game I'm actually really excited about. And then I think, like, it will have some multiplayer stuff eventually, and all this. It's going to be good. It's going to be a good game. And I'm going to play it. I'm going to be happy. Because I'll be playing it on my Series X. It'll be very pretty.
Yes.
Yes.
I think... go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're good.
I was just going to say, because this is like the theme of these first handful of stories. Assassin's Creed Valhalla also went gold. That's going to be my Series X purchase, I think. The more I think about it, and honestly, the more I see of Cyberpunk, the less excited, like, because it's not going to be the type of game I'm going to want it to be. But I might wait for a little bit on Cyberpunk, just because there will be, by the time I'm ready to buy it, I want there to be several patches to hit. So that's kind of what I'm going for. Whereas I think Valhalla will probably be a little bit of a, that's the game I'm probably most excited for that's coming out in the next, you know, month. Because I loved Odyssey so much, and just, I would like more Odyssey.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I didn't get Odyssey, so, Origins before that, so, yeah, Valhalla seems really cool. That's a game that I'm probably just gonna get, like, on sale at some point, and then, you know, probably enjoy, because I do really like the Norse aspect of it, but, mm-hmm. I would not say I'm excited about it. Whereas, like, Cyberpunk is my jam. And I don't just mean Cyberpunk 2077. It will probably be my jam. The Cyberpunk aesthetic is my jam.
Yeah, just the genre of Cyberpunk.
Yes. I love that stuff. So, yeah, give me all that. All of it. I'll take it all. We also got Spider-Man Miles Morales has gone gold. Another game I'm definitely getting, though it will be for my PlayStation 4. I'm sure it'll still be fine. And
oh, yeah.
Did you see the clip they showed off Spider-Man the cat?
Yes.
It's adorable.
And how there's a third Spider-Man. It was announced that there was a third Spider-Man, and everyone went nuts with, like, Spider-Verse theories. And then it was like, and here he is, and it's the bodega cat in the backpack.
Yes.
Which, so, Valhalla is going to be my Series X game. Miles Morales is going to be my PS5 game. So that's the PS5 game I'm most excited for. I know that's the game Dalton, just in general, is the most excited for.
Yes.
Like, probably of the year.
Yes.
Is Miles Morales, because he just loved... He loved Spider-Man like I loved God of War.
Yeah. I mean, he and I bonded quite a bit over how much we loved that game, because I... Mm-hmm. Like, that... I've talked about it before. I've only ever platinumed one game, and that is Spider-Man. I have never platinumed any other game. I've never had any interest in platinuming any other game. But I platinumed the crap out of Spider-Man on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, the only... Like, I would probably be more excited for it, but I will say... I am salty. Excuse me. Just as a human being, I am salty. And I'm very salty at the fact that I bought the Spider-Man DLC bundle on sale for PS4, because it's like, oh, I didn't buy the season pass when it went live. Plus I'm getting the PS5 version. So I want to, you know, play the good version on that. So I'll have it ready to go. And then, like, locking the PS5 version behind the Ultimate Edition of Miles Morales. Not thrilled with that decision, but
yeah.
You know, it's whatever. They're still going to get my $70. So.
But that is just a real, like, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we talked about that last week quite a bit, and I get the salt on that. Like, that's just Sony making, like, a decision that's really frustrating. But anyway, So that's all the Gone Gold stuff. Then we got Avengers for the next gen system, as well as I don't remember what DLC pack it is at this point.
It's Kate Bishop.
Kate Bishop is also. Oh, that's a real bummer for you.
It is.
Because I know, like, I don't know of anybody that loves Kate Bishop more than Asa Gray.
Which isn't, like, all that much. Like, I'm not, like, Dalton and Static Shock. I just very much, like, it was, a lot of it was from the,
Matt Fraction.
The Matt Fraction AHA run. Like, I love that. And she was great there. And just, like, in general, she's a really solid character. And she's a really good Hawkeye. And I really love her and Clint Barton's relationship. So I was super excited. And plus, it's Ashley Birch is voicing her.
Yeah.
Which is just, I like amazing. Ashley Birch a lot. So yeah, for the next gen version being delayed isn't a huge deal because, you know, we'll still have the backwards compatibility and it'll still look and run better on next gen. But apparently, like, this game is just bleeding player base.
Yeah, it's actually causing problems on PC because they have less, like, for matchmaking, because they have less than 1,000 active players at any one time.
Which is not good for a games as a service.
No! That is worst case scenario is for games as a service. That's real bad. So yeah, that's a definite problem, but it's fine. It's fine. It's probably fine. Maybe next gen will have a resurgence, or maybe they'll make it where it's, you know, more interesting for people like me, because I have no interest in this game at all, which is bad because I am the target audience.
Yeah.
Everything about me is the target audience for this game, and I have no interest in it. Yeah, Stardew Valley, adding split-screen co-op in Update 1.5. So, if you're into Stardew Valley, you want to have some couch co-op good times with it, it's coming up. I thought that was really cool, because I feel like more games need to be couch co-op these days, mm-hmm. because it's becoming more and more rare. Like, really, really rare at this point. Because at least Borderlands 3, this actually was kind of cool, especially for those that are fans of couch co-op. We got the announcement for the next-gen free upgrades. Importantly, it's a free upgrade for Borderlands 3. Even if you have the disc version, you can put the disc in the console and you'll get the next-gen version for free. Not like you'll have to, you know, have the disc in every time. Like, it's not like you're just going to get a digital version, but still.
Yeah, so if you bought the Xbox Series S, and you have Borderlands 3 physical, you don't get nothing for free.
Correct.
You're not going to be able to use that.
But yeah, if you get the disc version, then you can pop the disc in, you can download all the updates and everything, and you'll get the next-gen version for free. And, like, you'll be able to put the disc in and go from there each time.
Plus, isn't it on the day of, like, it'll be ready for yep. the first day the consoles are out?
Yeah, the day the console is out, the update will be ready and you can grab it and play it. And I'm actually kind of excited about that. That'll be really, really cool. Give me something to pop in the old Series X when I get it. Because right now, like, you know, I don't really have much else to, you know, throw in there. I just...
Right.
Because there's not, like, especially the Series X, like, we lost Halo for the launch title. I won't have Cyberpunk for a week, so it'll just kind of be like me moving everything on my 1X over to the Series X, and just kind of going from there, playing my... It'll be like when I got the Xbox 360 for the first, like, until... I don't even remember what my first Xbox 360 game was, but for the longest time, I used my Xbox 360... to play Halo 2. Dead or Alive 4. Dead or Alive 4 was the first Xbox 360 game I bought.
Dead or Alive games are real pretty, though.
They are. And Jake and I have always been huge into the, like, fighting games, so... Jake being my little brother, for those that somehow don't know that yet. So, yeah. That was... that it'll probably be a lot of the same thing, except, yeah, I guess Cyberpunk I'll have a week, and then I'll be playing that on my Series X. But anyway, Borderlands 3, though, I can grab it, and then I can have three people come over, and we can play four-person couch co-op in Borderlands. Which blows my mind, considering how busted two-person co-op was on the Xbox One release. I don't know if they ever fixed that or not, but I know at first it was not good.
I mean, I would assume so. But I don't, like, I have not, once I beat Borderlands 3, I have not looked back. Like, I haven't done any of the DLC, even the stuff that I technically paid for because I got the $100 version. So I'm so far out of it, and I've only played, like, other than that first weekend, being at your apartment when it first came out, every other time I've played it has been single player, so I'm not sure.
Right. I've played it a lot more on my PC. I haven't played it on the Xbox at all since it came out, and I played it a handful of times on the PC. I've only played the first DLC pack, which is a little bit of a bummer, because I also got the big edition that came with all the DLC. So maybe once the Series X lands and I can grab it, then I'll probably start playing through some of that DLC. It'll be a good time. Because in addition to that, you can get, if you play single player, you get 4K 60 frames per second in the single player on the Series X and the PlayStation 5. You won't be able to get that kind of quality if you do the 3 and 4 player split screen. But, yeah. I don't really expect that, because that would be right. Kind of insane.
Yeah.
So, let's see. We also got Sony has confirmed. We finally have full confirmation on what's going to be backwards compatible and how it's going to be backwards compatible on the PlayStation 5. And this was one of those things that we've been wondering about for a while. Like, Sony's been kind of like, backwards compatibility will be a thing. Okay, but
the most popular PS4 titles, the, like, 90% or whatever weird number that they put out there.
Yeah, and it turns out it's all but, like, 10 games.
Yeah.
There's 10 games on the PlayStation 4 that will not work, and nothing, like, huge. Most of the games on the list I didn't even know existed.
You just upset the huge Samurai Champloo 2 fan base.
I did not, because it's Afro Samurai 2.
Dang it. Yeah, but they're mad on their behalf.
Okay, I got you.
I'm not looking at the list. I just knew it was a samurai game. It was an anime samurai game. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, that is accurate. Oh, I'm sorry. That was very funny to me. So anyway, yeah, there's like 10 games. Yeah, I don't think anybody cares about any of them. It'll be okay. And it will have, like, you'll be able to use the PlayStation 5 controller. Some of the features won't work, specifically the share button, because the PlayStation 5 controller doesn't have that. Most of the, I think, like, all those games, same thing digitally, or the discs will work just fine. So that's great. I'm glad because that's one of those things we haven't known. Like, what do you mean by most popular? Like, what, Sony, please clarify. And they finally did. And I'm very happy that everything looks like that's good. Everything looks like it's supposed to be, and happiness all around. We also got to see the GUI, the user interface of the PlayStation 5. Nothing really surprising to me on that one. I don't know about you, Asa.
No, I mean, I watched it once on my lunch break, but I didn't, like, take notes, because honestly, I missed it when I was looking, when you put up the Google Doc, even though I added something directly below it, I missed that, that we were talking about it. So the only thing that really stands out to me is, so part of it is, if you have PS Plus, there is, like, a help feature that you can watch these little creator-made videos, like, developer-made videos to, like, oh, you can, you need to do this objective. Here's a short video on how to do that. I am really curious to see if that lasts past the first year. Like, how many developers are actually going to do that? Like, Sony may require their first-party people to, but are, you know, is Assassin's Creed going to have that? Especially, like, the next Assassin's Creed that comes out after Valhalla. You know, things like that. Like, how much use are we really going to get out of this? The other... I do like the feature that it's like, oh, you're doing this mission or this level or whatever, you have about 10 minutes left. Because I put it on Twitter, I'm going to play that like I drive with a GPS on. 10 minutes to my destination? Bet I can do it in 8. Bet. And then the other thing is, I don't like how the primary screen, or like the big, the cards, I think they called them, is like, here's news and notes for the game you're playing. It's like, I don't care about that. I can't think of anyone who's going to care about that. So I like
some of the multiplayer games. Like, I think people like any kind of game like Overwatch or Fortnite, people would care about, because, well, maybe not Fortnite, but any game with balance changes that are multiplayer games.
I mean, potentially, but even like Fortnite is, it's like you have to, it throws up a screen before you get into the game of just like, hey, here's the stuff that's featured in the store right now. Do you want to go there?
Fair.
And I would assume that's what that's going to be. So I don't need it in a second place to like have to get through. I will say one thing that I actually really like about it is them saying that the store is no longer a separate app. It's just built into the UI. So that should make shopping easier.
That is really nice. Because, yeah, getting through the PlayStation Store can at times be clunky. Same thing with Xbox, really. But...
Oh, yeah, no. The neither, I think... Because, like, console wars to me are stupid. I hate going online and seeing, like, fans of one console try to dunk on the other, because it's like, that's just dumb. Because the current generation that we have now, both of the UIs kind of suck.
Yeah.
Like, none of them are great.
Yeah.
And I'll stand by that. So I think, you know, the Series X that we've gotten so far, like, since people have actually been able to put their hands on a Series X, unlike Sony, have said, like, it's pretty much the same, but it works a lot better. Like, it's a lot faster. It's more responsive. So that's good. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Sony's feels. Plus, this is all going to change, you know, in a year anyway, once everything kind of starts to slow down and we're getting more of the, you know, once that hard drive really starts getting some work put on it.
Because, like, hard drive space in general is something that I'm always going to be concerned with. Because that's, you get games that are upwards of like 200 gigabytes when you talk about 4K. And I'm curious how fast it's going to keep performing. Like, if those things get really full, like if you got a whole bunch of games, like once they start kind of like, cause hard drives don't last forever. Like, even solid state drives.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's, I don't know. We'll see. Gonna have to see. All right, the last bit of news here before we get to Ace's Mortal Kombat Minute. We got the Halloween event coming for Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Which,
and this looks cool.
It does! It looks super neat. You can get skins to make your character look like Michael from the Halloween series, or you can make your character look like Do what? Oh no, it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre. No, I didn't see.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wait, did I put that?
No, wrong? I saw the mask and I kind of thought that, and then I looked again and yeah, it's definitely Texas Chainsaw Massacre. My bad.
Yeah, I was like, hang on, I need to reread this article because that's even cooler. Yeah, because it's Leatherface and Billy the Puppet are the like established characters, which part of Billy the Puppet's charm is that he's a puppet. He's a small boy.
Yes.
So I don't know how I feel about, like, man-sized Billy the Puppet.
That's real creepy. Like, it's creepy looking in the game.
I mean, it is, but, like, why wouldn't, like, because it says, like, there's certain areas in Warzone that he'll appear on TVs and monitors and stuff, which is cool. Like, do that. But let the playable character be the pig mask dude. You know, the thing Jigsaw actually wore when he was, oh, did I just get super nerd on, like, horror movie.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it, buddy.
I'm just going to go sit in the corner and just reflect on my life.
Yeah, no, because I agree. Like, that would be cooler, but at the same time, like, the puppet, like, mask is still creepy and cool. And there's going to be a bunch of other outfits for other operators that are going to be Halloween-themed.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, those are obviously, like, the big, like, named guys, so...
And there's weapon skins, there's items. Billy the Puppet's pack that you can buy comes with a tricycle charm that you can put on your guns, which is cool. Game modes, including Onslaught and Snipers Only.
Yeah.
Which, Onslaught sounds pretty cool. Snipers Only is a thing I guarantee you I will never play because I'm terrible with snipers.
I am also terrible with snipers. I am no good with snipers at all in Call of Duty. Never have been. I'm not looking forward to, like, finishing out the platinum on it. Because just getting the gold on the AX-50, I didn't technically accomplish. I got pretty far into it. And then the guy that stole my account for a few weeks finished it off for me. So, thanks.
Which, the best version of having your account stolen, like, that's the best case scenario.
You're right! Like, he gives it back to me, it's like, hey, the AX-50, the one sniper I could actually use is gold now, hooray! But yeah, no, this looks super cool, and I'm excited to play. You know, me and Kevin have gotten back into Call of Duty a little bit, been playing it, and once I got my account back anyway. And I'm excited to get that Damascus and get me some cool Halloween stuff while I'm going. But... yeah, it all looks super neat. And now, the return of Ace's Mortal Kombat Minute, because we got some news about the latest characters to be released. Ace, hit it, buddy.
I want to start this Mortal Kombat Minute with a moment of silence. Okay. Legitimately, I am very bummed at Combat Pack 3. Or, I'm sorry, it's Combat Pack 2. And I'm... hoping and keeping my fingers crossed that this isn't all there is to it. Because it was announced last week that we're getting Combat Pack 2, and it's only three characters. We're getting Rain, we're getting Melina, and we're getting John Rambo are the characters coming to Mortal Kombat. And to me, this is a bummer for multiple reasons. One... we've had two pieces of DLC already for Mortal Kombat. We've had Combat Pack 1, and we've had Aftermath. Aftermath only gave us three characters, but it also gave us a pretty substantial chunk of story to go along with it. Combat Pack 1 was only characters, but we got six of them. So depending on what the pricing is for this, like, that's kind of a bummer that we're getting so much less content than what we've gotten already. And also, the characters to me are very uninteresting, except for Rain. I like Rain. I think he's a cool character. I'm happy to see him back. The online presence of Melina fans has absolutely poisoned me towards her. Like, I do not want her in the game because of how toxic her fans online are. It's just, it's super obnoxious. So I hate that they're going to be able to look at this and be like, see, if we talk about his friend's dog who, if Ed Boon posts about his friend's dog running away, then and we immediately spam, put Melina in Mortal Kombat 11, then we'll get our way. And I don't like that behavior rewarded. And also, like, John Rambo, I don't care. There was two tops good Rambo movies, and it's cool that Sylvester Stallone is going to do the voice, but...
problem is, Sylvester Stallone doesn't sound anything like he did 40 years ago.
Yeah. If Mortal Kombat X leaned heavy into the horror movie franchise, like, it's clear that we're getting 80s action movies with Mortal Kombat 11. And also, like, how different is he going to be able to play between, like, Terminator, who's a pretty zone-heavy character, RoboCop, who's a very zone-heavy character, and now Rambo? Like, why? So... I'm bummed. I actually don't know if I'm going to end up buying it. I probably will. But I'm also holding out hope that there's going to be, like, a second wave of Combat Pack 2. Because in the announced trailer that we got, people have pointed out that there are like two or three just shot for shot scenes from The Evil Dead. And Ash has been a rumor character for like since before Combat Pack 1.
And an oft-requested character.
Very, especially for this game. So, you know, fingers crossed that we get a second wave or we get those second three characters, because otherwise, like, for me personally, I know there's people that are, like, there's a ton of people who are super excited for Melina. I know there are people who are excited for Rambo and like those movies more than I do. This is all just like a personal taste thing for me. So I don't want to take away anybody's, I don't want to take away anybody's excitement. It's just, this is a miss for me personally.
Right.
But that said, I will more than likely end up buying it and playing it and liking Rain at least.
And see, I didn't know until just now that it was only going to be three characters. I just kind of figured that was like, you know, they only announced three so far.
And that's the thing, is it's just like, there's been so, like, this game has been leaked to death. With some of it being very, very accurate, but some of it also has been proven, like, wrong. And, yeah, I'm really hoping that we're getting a combat cast tomorrow. So I'm hoping maybe they'll do a, oh, hey, by the way, surprise announcement. This is only
half of the pack.
Yeah. Which it's $15. I just looked that up. Okay, how much is Combat Pack 1?
Wasn't that $25?
Because that better have been 30. I don't know, PlayStation. It was $20.
Oh no.
So you're telling me for $5 extra, I got three more characters.
Yeah, that's not good economy right there.
So
that's like chicken nugget economy right there.
Six new add-on playable characters, seven combat pack exclusive character skins, and six themed skin packs was Combat Pack 1. Maybe they're heavy loading the, I don't think they are. Two includes fighters. Oh no. It's just the fighters. It doesn't even have, like, skins. Pre-order and get the Time Warrior skin pack featuring Dark Web Noob Saibot, Liu Kang, and Blood Moon Scarlet. So, what?
Yes.
It's only $5 less, and you're getting less than half of the content? Oh, that's a... Warner Brothers, what are you doing?
Surely they'll add at least another character.
Man, what in the world? That can't be right, right? Like, I need to spend some time on the Mortal Kombat subreddit or do a little bit of digging. Because that is a... Man, that's a bummer. That is an all-around bummer.
Yeah, that's no good, buddy. That's no good. Well, we'll let you guys know when we find out more about that. For now, though, that's going to conclude our show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next time.